Well, you know, how many of you were here when I came last month? Raise your hand, because I recognize some of you. Yes, it was a good time together. I know. How you doing, man? Good to see you. This is a special room to me, if I can tell the story again.
Yeah, absolutely.
This room is very special. I spent a couple years here as a Bible college student, and this room happens to be the very one. We had so many prayer meetings in this room. Me and about four other 20-year-olds would come in here for 2 hours. We'd come in here every Wednesday afternoon from 12 to 2, and we'd try to fast and pray. Did you hear what I said? We tried to. We'd come in here with sunflower seeds, or we would only make it about 45 minutes and go take an offering from all the secretaries at Capitol so we could go to Carl's Jr. and get a burger. We never made it through 2 hours of just trying to fast and talk to Jesus. We were really bad at it. I mean, real bad. But we would come in here every week and give ourselves to Jesus, and He loved it. Amen. Like, Jesus really likes that you try. We always think we've got to attain. Jesus says, I love that you're trying. Because as we try, He works His grace in us. And we can't do it on our own anyway, right? There's nothing we can do. You can't love Jesus on your own. You can't forgive somebody on your own. I mean, think of the things that Jesus asked us to do in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. I have a hard time liking people that like me some days. How am I going to love somebody that doesn't want me around? Those are lofty words. But as we give ourselves to the Lord, and we learn more about how He feels and thinks about us, then those things become easier in our life. So this room means a lot to me. Not only did we come in here weekly to fast and pray, but this was the very first room I ever preached in. And I only preached to one person. I was getting ready to go preach at Juvenile Hall, which is a few miles away from here. And a very good friend, one of my best friends, brought me in this room, sat right in the middle, and he said, I want you to preach to me. If you can't keep the attention of one, you won't keep the attention of 50. And it was in this room that he pretended to be someone in Juvenile Hall. So you guys can't do that to me today. But I'm ready for it. If you turn around and look the other way, throw something at me, I can deal with it. Because that's how it was. And that this very room is the room that I kind of preached my first sermon. So just coming in here is it's a special room to me. So I'm really honored to be with you here this morning. When I got connected through Dan Baker, who is my brother-in-law, Dan, wave your hand. Very good friend of Pastor Armin. We started to talk about me connecting with you guys. I got excited about Armenia. You know, the Bible talks about Armenia. Like, there's a verse for you guys. You guys have America doesn't have a verse. Not many countries, Israel, not many countries have Bible verses. You guys have a Bible verse about you. Anybody know it? What is it?
Jeremiah 51:27.
It says that your nation will be a nation that raises up a banner against Babylon. Yes. Which is kind of happening right now, but Babylon is going to be an economic and religious system at the end of the age, before Jesus comes back. I believe before the church gets raptured, we're going to see that. And Armenia, it's called Ararat, right, in the
yes.
Bible,
Amen.
Is the nation that is called to love Jesus and raise up a banner of truth and worship against a religious economic system that's led by the Antichrist.
Hallelujah.
That is awesome, you guys, what you're a part of. And so that I can come up here and talk to you about Jesus a little bit thrills me. I feel like I'm in the bonus round with Jesus. I really do. So thank you for welcoming me, even last month when I was here. I'm just looking forward to what's going to happen as we walk together as friends. So, anyway, but I'm not going to talk about that this morning. Maybe we'll talk about some end time stuff later when I come up, because that's really fun to talk about. You never know, you might get a little bit out of me today, but that's really fun to talk about. Good stuff. But I want to talk about stuff today that prepares our hearts so that we can stand in truth, that we can stand and raise up a banner against the enemy in our own lives today, against the pressures we go through, against things that come at us when the Lord's asking us to obey Him in certain ways. So, take your Bibles and open them to Ephesians chapter 3. If you have them, they're on your smartphone, or you actually still carry your Bible, or pull out your smartphone and look at it there. Ephesians 3, verse 19. Tinas have quieted down. Yeah. Okay. Ephesians 3:19. Gosh, this is a whole prayer. You know, this whole prayer here was given to you and I by the Holy Spirit for the church. It's a prayer that Paul the Apostle is praying. It's powerful. I just want to focus on verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, with all that God is. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you today for your holy heart toward us. How holy you are. How holy your love is for us. How holy your choice over us is. As individuals and together as a people. Thank you for your holy heart. Today I ask that the Spirit of glory would rest on our hearts and our minds today as we look at Bible verses. We talk about you. Let a spirit of glory and a spirit of wisdom and revelation rest upon our hearts today, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I want to talk about Jesus this morning. I don't really have a Christmas message, but talking about Jesus is a good Christmas message. And so I want to talk about the excellent love of Jesus out of Ephesians 3:19. It doesn't matter what we're called to do in our life. It doesn't matter what kind of a radical commitment you make as a follower of Jesus. Let's say you make a radical commitment. I'm going to go win my city. I'm going to go to the mission field. I'm going to be the best this. I'm going to give myself. It doesn't matter what kind of a fierce determination or radical commitment we make to Jesus. If we are not encountering the love of Jesus, we will falter in our radical commitment. Commitment was never meant to keep us. Commitment is something we make unto the Lord, we make to each other, but my commitment is not what keeps me in my obedience. It's His love that keeps me. Yeah? It's never my radical, I will go to the ends of the earth for you, Jesus. He's like, you're only going to go to the ends of the earth for me, Jim, if you know my excellent love. If you let me love you. And that's very important for us because we are geared as human beings to do stuff. You know, we all just kind of feel better when we're doing something because God made us that way. But so often we disconnect from the love of Christ in our fierce determination, even in our trying to avoid sin at times. It's not enough just to avoid sin. I mean, I believe in saying no to sin. Sometimes that's just real good. When you got nothing else, like, no, I'm not going to do that. And that counts, and the Lord helps us. But to go long term, you know what being radical is as a believer, as a follower? It's going long term in the love of Jesus. A continual, sustained encounter to do Ephesians 3:19. The Holy Spirit gave Paul the apostle of the New Testament church. He said, pray this prayer for the body of Christ for 2017. That they would know the love of Christ so that they could know the fullness of God. Amen. So we could walk in all that God has for us. Not just one truth, not that truth. God wants us to have the fullness. And if you back up in those verses, he says he wants us to do it together. That we might know the length, the height, the depth, the width of the love of Jesus with all the saints. He says that you would comprehend it with everybody, so you don't get to do it solo. That's why God loves prayer meetings together.
Amen.
That's why He loves corporate prayer meetings. Mm. It's a lot easier to pray alone. Mm. I've been leading prayer meetings for way longer than 10 years, and I've led all kinds of prayer meetings with guitars, pianos, silent prayer meetings, turn the lights out, light the candles, lay down on the floor, get on your knees, walk around, shout, don't shout, walk out in the woods. I've led all kinds of prayer meetings in my life. The best kind of prayer meetings are doing it together with other people.
Yes.
Jesus loves those because we comprehend His love in a greater dimension when we do it together.
Hallelujah.
Maybe it just has to do with I get to love my brother or my sister. He really likes that. So Christianity is an ongoing encounter with a person, not your commitment. Christianity is about an ongoing encounter with the man, Jesus, with a real person, with a real person who has real feelings. Jesus is both God and man. A lot of times when I'm sitting in the chair or walking around the room, I'm talking right to Him. I'm speaking right to a real person who totally understands me and knows me. I'm talking right into His own heart. And I want my life to be a continual encounter with the love of Jesus. To know the love of Christ includes knowing His kindness and His tenderness, His affections for us. John 15, verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Our heart and our mind has to be impacted with the tenderness and the kindness of Jesus. And there's certain ways practically that the Lord works that in us. A lot of times when we do bad, we feel bad. And the Lord wants us to learn with it when we maybe fall in an area of our lives and we do bad, that we run straight into His heart with all that yuck that we feel. Yeah? But a lot of followers don't. A lot of believers don't. They run away from Him. They run away when they feel like as though they've let the Lord down. And that's the very time that Jesus wants us to run into His heart. I get a lot of opportunity to practice that. I know what it feels like to go, I don't want to talk to the Lord right now. I want to give it 10 minutes. Anybody ever feel like that after you do something, you say something, you think something, and you go, I got to give it 5 or 10 minutes before I actually go talk to God. I don't think He's going to listen to me right away. Huh? That's right. That's real stuff. And yet so many followers of Jesus live that way. Across Sacramento, so many followers of Jesus are living that way, waiting to jump through some hoops before they can actually come and talk to Him. He's like, that's not how I designed it. I laid my life down for you. Not so you could jump through some more hoops and look good to a few people. I laid my very life down for you so that you can do this thing long term. Full of my love, encountering my love.
And so Jesus emptied Himself out. You know, when I think about Christmas, I think Jesus, the little baby, He was God. And He emptied Himself out. That's part of His excellent love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of Jesus, that though He was rich..." How rich is God? Anybody know? No, we don't know how rich. So right there is a stunning statement that you could just talk to Him about. Like, I would encourage you to go, "How rich are you?" I do that with Him some days. I go, "For you know the grace of Jesus, that He was rich." And so often we want to get to the verse that talks about what I get. I'm like, wait, who are you? How rich are you? And sometimes He goes, "I'm really rich." And other days He doesn't say anything. But I just get to sit there and think, how rich are you? He's got more money than Bill Gates. He's so rich. But why is that important to you and I? Why is it important to know that God's rich? Because it gives us an idea of what he gave up for you. That's when it starts to get good, when he goes, I am more rich than anybody ever knows, Jim. And I gave it all up because I wanted you. You wanted me in my weakness? Yes, I knew exactly how you would be, Jim. I know you, little guy. You're just a little pipsqueak. I know how you are, but I was willing to empty myself of all my richness so that I could have you. Whew. That's strong. That's powerful. That's how he wants us to live. He wants us to consider what he gave up to have us. The choice that he's made, that's why his choice is holy. He said, I don't want there to be any distance between you. So Jesus embraced a life. I'm going to say it to you and you're going to go, yeah, I know that. He embraced a life of poverty. He embraced a life of going through what, I mean, he put on skin. God put on skin. He walked around. I think about he walked around and had dust in his eyes. I like to think about the humanity of Jesus as God on the earth. This is what really blows my mind about the Lord. This is a new one I'm thinking about. It may not be new to you, but I'm thinking about how meek and humble Jesus is, that when I talk to him about stuff that I want him to do or need him to talk to me about or figure out, he is so humble that he'll actually listen to me. And he's got the answer already. He's like, I've already got the answer, but why don't you come and talk to me about your stuff, Jim? Even though I've got the answer, I want to listen to you. We don't do that well as humans. This morning, my wife is saying, hey, I want this from Starbucks. We were leaving our house from the Bay Area to drive up there. I said, honey, I'm going to get you coffee, and what do you want to eat? And she's telling me what she wants to eat, and I'm putting in the order what I think she wants. And she goes, I didn't even order this. This is not what I wanted. I go, it wasn't? She goes, no, you weren't listening. We don't listen well as humans. We miss each other constantly because we think what each other knows and what each other wants. But Jesus, who knows everything, he goes, I'm going to listen to you. He says, Jim, I'm going to listen to you. You don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to listen to you. Because that's who he is. He's got every answer all the time. When he's silent, when you talk to him, it's not because he's got to go to the whiteboard to get the answer. He's got the answer. But he loves you so much. He's like, I don't want to just answer you. I want to talk to you about who I am, because that's what you were designed for. Encountering the excellent love of Jesus. So he embraced a life of rejection. The little baby Jesus embraces poverty, being rejected, shame. Philippians chapter 2 is one of the best verses that tells us this. Verse 6 and 7. It says that Jesus was being in the form of God. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. And he took on the form of a slave. And he came in the likeness of men. I think when Jesus took on flesh, when Jesus put on skin, I think the angels went crazy. I think when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit came up with the idea that the Son would put on skin and come to the earth and live amongst us, I think the angels
went crazy. The Bible calls it a mystery that is now made known to us. Calls it the wisdom of God that's now made known to us, that's being unfolded to us. But I think it was a scandal in heaven. If there were newspapers in heaven, I think that would have been the headline. Son of God puts on skin. If there were social media in heaven, everybody's Twitter feed would be blowing up. Son of God puts on skin to become like humans that are depraved. Wow. So that he could love us. He embraced that. That's worth hours of thinking about. You're like, I don't have hours to do. If you give yourself 30 seconds to thinking about that, you'll give yourself 45 seconds. It'll expand to a minute. Why? Because you begin to, you understand who he is. That his love is what keeps us. Because he became poor for me, that sustains my life. The very nature of love is to empty itself out. It's interesting that even today in our life, in our society, God is accused. There's such accusation against God that he's not near, that he doesn't take care of us, that if he really took care of us, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen and that to happen. God is under constant accusation, all the while missing the truth that he emptied himself out of everything that he was, that he left all of his wealth and riches. In fact, Jesus is the only There's not a person that's ever been born on the earth that's had it worse than Jesus. Like Jesus being God, as soon as he decided to take on flesh, he was the person that had it worse than anybody else ever born of a woman. He totally understands your life. He embraced every part of this life, every emotion. He embraced every pain. That was him giving up his riches, him emptying himself out. Such a stumbling block. Probably not only in heaven, but even on the earth. If you just want to fast forward, Jesus comes as a baby, lives 33 years. We don't know a lot about the early life of Jesus. We know some things when they took him to the temple. We know when he was 12 years old that he started to do some teaching. And we don't know what happened in his teenage years, but I just want to throw these things out to you because we can ask him questions. Not that we don't have a lot of Bible on it, so I'm not telling you to veer off and get your own idea and go away from the Bible. But we know that he grew up as a teenager. Can you imagine Jesus as a teenager? I would love to hang out with Jesus. I mean, just he would never have to open his mouth. He'd just be the most. You just want to hang out with him. Just his spirit. Everybody would want to hang around with Jesus. Like, are we going to Jesus' house tonight for the sleepover? Everybody would want to go hang out with Jesus. Because his spirit was so alive. He was so connected to the Father, he was alive. But he came to demonstrate that life so that you and I could live that way. That's available to you and I. The Bible says it's an incorruptible seed. The life of God is in us as believers. That we can have everything that Jesus had as he walked on the earth. He was free in his emotions, free in his spirit, free in his mind. Again, because he gave everything up, we can live that out as we grow in him. But when we fast forward through Jesus' early years, teenage years, young adult years, and then he hits 30 years old, and that's when it really started going haywire. When he stood up in the temple and he reads the book of Isaiah and he says, in this day, in the hearing of your ears, this word is fulfilled. Everybody went crazy and wanted to kill him. That's when the shame and the rejection came fully that we see from the Bible. And from that moment on, Jesus was constantly talking about who he was, asking people what they thought about him, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, healing people of all types of diseases, talking to people, seeing people understand truth. And all the while, people were wanting to kill him. He was walking this way, and then he walked through this crowd of people, and people wanted to kill him. And so I think at the end of the day, what most people are upset about Jesus emptying himself out, and we see it clearly in the scriptures with the Pharisees, when they killed Jesus and put him on the cross, they did not want a Messiah who would die. Israel wanted a Messiah who was going to conquer Rome for them. They did not want a Messiah who would be put to death. And even this day, that's the shame that many people accuse God with. They're like, I don't want a God like that. And yet that's how he emptied himself out. Because this thing all comes back to the cross. Jesus came as a baby. We celebrate this Christmas season, Advent, him coming as a child so that he could go to the cross. So that you and I could follow him and we could embrace the cross so that we could actually have fullness of life. Because without the cross, we don't have the fullness of life. And so Jesus comes. It's scandalous in heaven. He lives his life. He lives his life out in front of people. He dies. They murder him. He never raises his hand against anybody. His life is consistent all the way through, full of kindness, tenderness, holiness, very intentional, very deliberate. God is very affectionate and tender toward you and I, but he's also very intentional. He's very deliberate. In other words, he will accomplish his purposes in your life.
And so he empties himself out. He lives a life of meekness so that heaven can come and fill the earth, touch the earth. That was the first deposit, in a sense, of heaven coming to earth. Jesus coming as a baby, living his life out in front of us, giving us that example. Because that's what God's doing presently. Jesus comes, he's like installment one of heaven to earth. Now you and I, as we follow Jesus, he's alive in us. We're bringing heaven to earth. Installment two will come when Jesus comes back to the earth. Like right now, it's good. When Jesus comes back, it'll be more good because he'll be on the earth with us, ruling from Israel. Isaiah 16, verse 5 tells us. Sorry, I'm going there. This is just fun. This is fun. You got to see this. This is your life. This is your reality. This is your reality. You are not going to die and go float on a cloud and be a fat, chubby angel. That is not heaven. That's not what happens. Jesus is coming back to the earth. He's going to come to our home. He's coming here. And then life gets better than it is now. No, it gets way better. Jesus is on the earth, ruling and reigning. That's all 1 Corinthians 15. The trumpet, your body, remember the body changes, right? Didn't I talk about walking through walls last time I was here? Gosh, that's going to be fun. Flying, maybe?
I think we should do Revelation.
Let's do it.
Yeah, 2017, huh?
Mm. Well, it's our reality. If we're not connected to eternity for real, this doesn't make sense. Why do I want to love and forgive people? I'm not just trying to make it through the week. I don't want to try to get through the next 6 months. But we live that way. Okay, just get through the next month.
The Lord's like, Jim, my vision for you is way bigger than a month. Like today, this all the stuff you're going through matters. Lift your eyes. See what I've called you to forever. We're going to be together forever. We're going to be doing stuff together forever. Like this life right now, the next 40 years for me, it's all for, this is just an internship. Life on earth is just an internship for what when it really starts to happen. The Lord's like, I want you to connect your life to that. I don't know how I got on that.
It was good.
If that makes sense of what you're going through today, makes sense of what you're going through in your life.
Okay. One, another thought here. This is a good thought. Think of the risk. I'm just staying, thinking about the excellent love of Jesus. Some of us like to risk things. Others of us don't. Jesus loves it. Think of the risk that he took to come and love us. He only had the promise of the Father. He says, if you go and die this death, you will receive an inheritance. Psalm chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 55, talks about Jesus receiving his inheritance through the cross. That he would receive transgressors, sinners, because of going through the cross. Like the reward that was promised to him. So there's this great risk. God puts his son into the earth where there's this thing called real choice. Where some people would choose him and others wouldn't choose him. That's risk. Like God put his son knowing the full risk that I'm going to put you in the mix of people that will, some will choose you, some will not choose you. So when you and I choose the Lord with all of our pressures, temptations, compromises that we can give ourselves into, the Lord rejoices with us even more. When he looks at our life, like he looks at our lives and he goes, I see the choice you made to love me through that. We make a lot of mistakes and we compare ourselves to each other. I don't know what you go through to love Jesus. I can look at you from afar and go, I wouldn't have done that. I would do it different. I'd be better. I don't know where you're at and what it took for you to make a choice to obey the Lord from your place in life. Only the Lord sees that. Because each person has a different arena and platform at times that they live out their love before God. And only the Lord sees those little choices that you make to love him that nobody else sees. We need to learn to fall in love with the little winks of God when we love him in ways that nobody else sees. That's why fasting is so good. Prayer. Doing things that nobody else sees except Jesus. I think there's so many people we're going to see in eternity that will be like, wow, that person? He's like, yeah. Let me tell you about a day in their life where they chose to love me in a way that nobody else saw. Why am I bringing this up? Because Jesus is deeply, deeply involved with you. He sees. He sees. He values the choices we make. He didn't send an angel. He could have sent an angel to get everybody ready. But he laid himself out. So we do have a response to the love of Jesus. There's a response that you and I have. He gave us the first commandment to love God with all that's in us. All His heart, soul, mind, and strength. That wasn't just a commandment to do. The first commandment was a prophetic word that we would do it. A lot of times we read Matthew 23:37, we go, Jim, you will love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm like, oh God, it's so hard to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, read it again. I'm prophesying over your heart that you will love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm like, wait a minute. I will? He goes, you will love me that way. The only way that we will love Him that way, as we respond to His love that has been poured out to us in a continual way. Otherwise, we'll just lean into our own commitment. Because it's not my commitment that keeps me loving Jesus. It's me receiving from Him. Being a receptor of the love of Christ. Amen. Let's stand.
I just want to pray over us.
I want to encourage you with something this morning as we close. Weak love for God is real love. You better feel weak in their love for God. Yeah. Weak love is real love. A lot of times we don't feel like our love is real if it's not the way somebody else does it. Right? If we look at somebody else the way they worship or the way they do something in their life, we go, I don't love Jesus that way. And okay, if that helps you to get a vision to love Jesus, do it. But a lot of days we disqualify ourselves from loving Him because we feel like our love is so small that it doesn't count. And that is not true. Weak love for God counts. And as we offer Him weak love, our love grows. And so when we give Him everything, no matter how big that is, that might be bigger love coming from somebody else than from another person. But when we give Him everything, nothing is lacking. When we lay our head down on our pillow at night and we go, Jesus, I do love you. I did it okay here earlier in the morning, not so good in the afternoon. But I'm laying on my bed tonight and I'm telling you I love you. That's how He deals with us. He wants our hearts to encounter Him that way. That's what sustains us. So let's, you can look at me when I pray. You can close your eyes, whatever you want to do. I'm just going to trust the Lord to touch your heart right now. Father, I'm asking for a spirit of glory to come and touch our hearts right now.
Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah.
And I want you to be honest where you are. You be honest with God and yourself right now where you're at this morning. Holy Spirit, come. We ask for your presence right now to stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, the one who's alive on the inside of us, God in us. Holy Spirit, come. Let's just talk to Him for a minute. Just everybody in the room, just if you have a prayer language, just pray in the Spirit a little bit. Let's just stir it up in our spirits a little bit. The Bible says when we pray with our spirit, we edify ourselves. It says that God releases mysteries to us when we pray in the Spirit. Pray with your understanding. Same thing. We pray with our spirit. We pray with our understanding. The Holy Spirit begins to unlock the things of God to us as we pray. We don't need another man or woman to pray for us. The Holy Spirit will stir us up right now. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you that you're alive on the inside of us. We thank you for your presence that's alive in us, Lord, right now. The very deposit of God, the life of God. Thank you, Lord.
Just stay with it a few more minutes. Just don't drop off of it too quick. Just lock in with the Lord right now, just you and Him. Come, Lord, we ask You, rise up within us, Lord. Release Your love in us. Release Your mercy. Release Your grace right now, Lord, in us. Come, Lord. We wait on You, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. And let's do just another 20 seconds. Don't be loud, just quietly. Just talk to the Lord. Lord, we love You. Tell Him you love Him. Just begin to minister to Him right now. Minister to Jesus. Lord, we love You. We thank You for emptying Yourself out for us, Lord. Lord, we'll never know what You went through fully. We'll never fully understand. A song will never do it, Lord. We'll never fully understand what You gave up for us, Jesus. But in our weakness, Lord, we say we love You. We thank You for Your life. We thank You for this season where we can remember You coming as a child, subjecting Yourself to everything we go through. There's nothing that You don't understand about us. Holy Spirit, thank You for living on the inside of us, for taking the things that belong to Jesus and making them known to us. For taking the things, Holy Spirit, that belong to Jesus and making them known to us. Come, Lord. And where you are right now, just as we continue to pray, if you say, I just want the Lord to enlarge my heart, to experience and receive His love. Just lift your hands up in a receiving manner. You don't have to lift them high, or you don't have to lift your hands up right now. God sees it. It's just, you don't have to put any show on for Him. You may not even want to raise your hands, but ask Him to enlarge your heart right now for the love of God. Just ask Him where you are right now. Lord, come and enlarge my heart. I'm asking that over my own heart, Jesus. Come, expand my love for You, Lord. That I would grow in my understanding of Your love for me. More, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Let there be an increase of Your presence as we wait on You. Let there be an increase of Your presence, Lord, as we wait on You. Just stay with the Lord right now. I'm just going to play a little bit. Just ministering to us right now. We remember You, Lord. We set our attention on You. Come and enlarge our hearts. Do what only You can do, Lord, in us. Give us love for You. Give us love for You, Jesus. Do what only You can do, Lord. Stay with the Lord right now. I'm just going to sing a chorus over us that you may or may not know, but just stay focused on the Lord for a few moments. This is my prayer. It's my solemn vow. With all that I am, with all that I have, I will love You. I will love You. All of my heart, my soul and my mind, I pour out an offering of worship and cry, I will love You. I will love You. This is my prayer, it's my solemn vow. With all that I am, with all that I have, I will love You. I will love You. Jesus, I am Yours, and forever I want nothing more than to be with You. Jesus, I am Yours, and forever to be with You.
good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am, in your good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am.
Just right now, as we're in this place of worship, ministering to the Lord, how many are just feeling the Lord's presence on you right now? If you are, just, yeah. Okay. In this place, if there's anybody who just needs the Lord to do something in your life this morning, you've been asking Him this week, you've been in a season of asking the Lord just to minister to you, minister to your family, you need a breakthrough in an area of your life, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Yeah, those of you that raised your hand when I asked if you sensed, felt the presence of God on you, look around, see a person that has their hand raised and just move over to them. Put your hand on them and just begin to pray for the increase of God in their lives. Again, if you need God to do something in your life, keep your hand up until somebody comes and lays a hand on you. Just want to minister to one another right now. Just kind of move around the room. Just ask for the increase of the presence of God. And just go ahead and pray for one another. Ask for the increase. God will release His grace as we do this together as family. Release your power. Release your wisdom, God. Let there be an increase of your presence. Wisdom, breakthrough, healing. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am, you're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am. My prayer, it's my solemn vow. With all that I am, with all that I have, I will love you. I will love you. With all of my heart, my soul, and my mind, I pour out an offering of worship and cry, I will love you. I will love you. Jesus, I am yours, and I want nothing more. Again, I just want to make sure that everybody has somebody laying a hand on them, praying for them. Keep your hand up until somebody's come and prayed for you. I just feel this is significant this morning as we pray one for another. God will release His grace, His power. Through the body. Jesus, I am yours, and forever I want nothing more than to be with you.
just wait on you, Lord. We need your presence. If we'd ask, you will come, send your rain on every. And if we'd ask, you will come, send your rain on every. And if we'd ask.